is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Hygieia Healing with Gloria Terry. Gloria is a certified quantum touch practitioner and Reiki master who uses her healing to help clients, animals, and plants. Get ready for more stories of transformation. Welcome back, Gloria Terry.
The human fear-based nature limits a lot of things. This in itself is evolving and will evolve with awareness. With awareness comes knowledge, comes growth, comes self-love and compassion, comes empowerment, comes faith. After this session, I fell in love with Orchid. Now I'm in love with Orchid. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to my show. I am Gloria Terry, calling in from Berlin. Thank you for tuning in for today's show. I want to thank Nicole and everyone working in the switchboard for the Saturday special show, and for all that you have been doing to keep this show and this community going. This is a place where you can be taken away from the uncertainties around us and in our present reality. Thank you very much for all of your effort and all that you have been doing. And thank you, dear listeners, for always tuning in. I am grateful and appreciate it. I'm glad to be here at this time and space to talk about plant consciousness and the teachings and wisdom that they have for us. On today's show, we will talk about the conversation I had with the plant dendrobium. This is one of the many kinds of orchid plants or flowers. Once again, my show is about creating awareness on the consciousness of plants, and it runs every 2 weeks on Thursdays at noon Pacific Standard Time or 9 p.m. Central European Time on News for the Soul Radio. You can find me on their webpage, on the homepage at www.newsforthesoul.com. When you get there, you scroll down, that's on the front page, you find my name, Gloria Terry, Hygieia Healing. When you click on it, it will take you to my profile. There, you click on Archives to see all the previous shows. Briefly about myself again, I am a certified practitioner of energy healing, a channeler, and a telepathic communicator with plants. What that means is that I facilitate the healing of the body and the mind through the practice of quantum touch and the sacred practice of Reiki. Both methods use life force energy to facilitate healing. Channeling is a form of communication between physical and non-physical entities. Telepathically communicating with plants happened to me when I was experimenting with quantum touch as one of the steps to becoming a practitioner. The idea was to run energy into a plant to revive it, and the result of many other practitioners is reviving a weak plant back to life. In my case, my first experiment with plant, the plant died few days after running energy into it. That was my level one experiment. By the time I was in my advanced level, the supercharging level, I tried it again, and the result has brought us to this show. Yeah, in our last show, we talked about the conversation I had with Yucca elephantipis plant regarding the fact that some plants are not meant to be digested by humans. We learned that some of these earthlings, when I say earthlings on this show, I'm talking about every life form on planet Earth, including humans. Every life form here. Now, we learned from that show that some earthlings are here to support the planet by just being, for their being presence and holding space is their purpose. They are here to Earth, planet Earth, okay? In terms of human beings, these kind of people are not here to walk. They are here to hold space. We also talked about intimacy with the elements and how we can, experience intimacy with the elements around us. In today's show, we will talk about the plant orchid. We'll talk about the orchid plant, about fear, awareness, and balance. Okay? So, a little history about orchid, this plant orchid. So, when I was preparing for this, for today's show, I decided to check history. I just wanted to know what is out there regarding the orchid plant after the session with the plant yesterday and today. I went to Google to check out if there's anything regarding the history of orchid, and of course, once again, I like to verify after sessions. I like to verify to see if there's any information out there about what I have heard, what I have learned from the plant. So, this is what I found interesting. And I found this in the website, dengarden.com. It's dengarden.com. Okay? The article was written this year in April. Good timing, you know. So it's a fresh thing, it's new. It's a recent thing. Now I'm going to quote from that website. So everything I'm going to read from now is from that website. Okay, and the topic is orchids, a brief history of the fascinating and beautiful plant. I love it so much because it corresponds with what the plant said. Okay, now I will read. It said, these magnificent flowers first appeared nearly 200 million years ago and have since spread from the equator to the Arctic circle and from the Himalayas to Australia. Researchers dated orchid from the Jurassic period to the Mesozoic era. That would be 195 to 136 million years ago. And the Cenozoic period, that would be 64 million years ago. The orchid forms one of the greatest families in the plant kingdom, with over 25,000 species worldwide. With modern scientific cultivation, over 100,000 varieties of orchid, and the number is still increasing, okay? So they are still increasing the propagation of this plant. Now I continue. The first recorded mention of orchid is in Inquiry into plants dated around 300 BC by Theophrastus. Theophrastus. Theophrastus, a student of Aristotle. Dioscorides, a Greek medical botanist, the physician and a physician, first identified them clearly as orchid, in quotation, in the first centuries, whose De Materia Medica was a standard reference until the Middle Ages. Now they continued. In the 19th century and the coming of the Industrial Age, it became easier to transplant orchid from the tropics to civilizations. Okay? Advances in glass manufacturing facilitated the construction of greenhouses. This fueled the enthusiasm of propagating orchids under controlled conditions where the weather, cultured society competed to collect rare and beautiful specimens. Of course, if you know about orchids, you will know that there are very, very rare type, very beautiful type. Okay, now let me give you the backstory. Now I'm done with the quotation from that website. Now let me give you the backstory of how I came to this orchid. January this year, 2020, I visited Joy Space by invitation to be one of its practitioners. Now, Joy Space is a collective of holistic wellness practitioners and community activation space based in Berlin. Okay, the space was created out of a belief that our individual well-being is linked to the collective, and our collective well-being is linked to the individual. The more we liberate ourselves as individuals, is the belief, the more we liberate the collective. Okay. So when I was invited to join this very feminine energy community, I came to know about orchid. Now, what happened was that on my first visit, after I was invited and I agreed to go there, as I got there, I was asked to find out from the plant, that's an orchid. This type of orchid is called Vanda Blue Magic. Beautiful, beautiful plant. Okay, so I was asked to find out from the plant how it should be cared for, how it liked to be cared for. Okay, it was winter, it was dry, and well, the plant, they thought, was struggling. At that time, I didn't know about the plant, exactly that plant that I had conversation with. It was at the first contact with the plant, we had a conversation, because of course I have to find out from the plant how it wants to be taken care of. At the time, I didn't know it was orchid. It was after the session and me being curious of what the plant had said, I then turned to Google on my way home. I couldn't even wait until I got home. I just started, I was so excited and so curious. I wanted to, again, verify what the plant had said about taking care of it, because I didn't know about that plant. The root, by the way, was beautiful. I mean, the root was, I don't know, but that root was just it. And then the flower, of course, you could tell it was struggling. And the plant, they said, because of the, you know, the place, it's a beautiful place, but I think, no, I didn't think at the time. The plant said it during the session that where it was kept, I think the heating there, is heating is warm. Yes, it's supposed to be in a warm place, but there's the dryness coming with the heating thing. There's dryness about it. I can't remember exactly how the plant said it, but there's something dry about that heat coming from the heater. So, of course, I wanted to verify all of this, so I went to Google. Well, from that experience, I learned how to take care of orchid after I lost 2 or 3 in the past. Yeah. In the past, I think when I first came to Germany, I saw orchid. My mother-in-law had it, and I liked the plant. but I had no idea. I got some orchid for myself, I think some years after that. And I thought those things, in fact, I was so naive. I just didn't know how this thing worked. I didn't even know the name is a plant. The name of the plant is orchid. Until after that session, my interest was activated, so to say. And then, so I have two orchids now, and they are thriving. Okay, so now let's go into the conversation, into the conversation. Okay, so after greeting and after experiencing this beautiful aura around the plant, which was huge, the aura was so huge, I then asked permission. So I said, do I have permission to go deeper into your field? And the plant said, you are already in. Thank you, I said. Okay, so I was feeling, there was this subtle, gentle, warm kind of feeling around the plant. I couldn't tell if it was a female or male energy. It was just a mix of beautiful, warm, gentle feeling. And the breathing, the smoothness that was going with this rhythmic way of breathing. And the colors I saw were green, blue, pink, blue, and lilac. It was a beautiful, very subtle, light, huge, you know, thing that I experienced. So, thank you for this moment, I said. I am pleased, said Dandru Bium. Now, speaking to the consciousness of the plant, I asked, should I call you Dandru Bium or do you prefer another name? And the plant said, whatever you call me is fine with me. I usually do not have, in quotation, a name. Whatever feels comfortable with you is fine with me, it said. Thank you. By the way, this is the second time I was having session with you, but this is the first conversational session, okay? So, and then the plant asks, what is it you'd like to know? So that means the plant is already familiar with the fact that something is going on in my apartment with plants, or me and plants, okay? Of course, like I said in previous shows, it is your aura they perceive. They perceive your aura, and your aura has everything about you, your imprint, your history, your personality, or your design, everything about you is in your aura, okay? And that's what the plants perceive, and I'm sure animals too, okay? And so when the plant said, what is it I'd like to know? I said, I'd like to know about Dandrobium and the consciousness in it. Dandrobium is a beautiful earthling that I embodied, said the plant. As you already know, and as you already have learned how to care for it, I'm glad to be here at this time. Good timing, right? Thank you, I said. And then the plant said, Dandrobium is a species of orchid, a very unique kind of root crawling plant that doesn't necessarily need earth soil for its survival. You see, it needs woody and spongy kind of earth material to thrive. This is what you would be needing if you'd like me to grow bigger. Okay, this is talking about reporting it, right? Yes, I know this. But I said, yes, I know this. I said, because I've learned this from the other orchid plant, the one I first had a conversation with at Joy Space. I've learned this from that plant. So I said, yes, I know this. But when is the best time to do the reporting, you know, to put it in a new pot, to take it out from the one it came with and put in a new one? You know, the mistake I made in the past years, was I was putting it in soil. I had no idea. You know, I had no idea. Anyway, I bought it in the store, and then I bring it home and put it directly in the soil. Like I felt like the people didn't know what they were doing. I was so naive. Okay, so I intended to report it. That's why I asked. And then when I asked when, the plant said next autumn will be good. This will be in the fall. This year, fall. So that will start next month. And when I checked this in Google after this session, they said the best time to report orchid is when they are done with their flowering, when they are done, when all the flowers are down, and before they start their new cycle of growth is the best time to report it. So when I saw this, it was correct when he said autumn. I think that he said autumn for me to understand that it's the fall when the leaves are done falling. Okay. And of course, the leaves are already, and sorry, the plants, the flowers are already falling. Autumn. Okay, thank you, I said. And then the plant said, watch the roots for dryness during winter. Only then should you water it. It's hardly overwatered anyway, but watch out for that. Okay, thank you, I said. And then I asked, how did Earth come about dendrobium? How did it start growing? And then the plant answered, it started out in the forest as a normal plant, like many other plants, until it was noticed for its outstanding beauty and eye-catchy, vibrant colors. Then it was brought into the living and sitting places of people to beautify the environment before it became a house plant. Although we still grow in the humid forest as we used to, but for some time now, starting with the civilization of men and other beings here, we now beautify the environment and entertain the eyes. You said, and I quote, other beings. What do you mean by that? I asked. We have been in the vicinity of humans and other entities here on Earth from the time of the settlement of other advanced civilization on Earth before humans became, said the plant, orchid, which gave or from which other variations like dendrobium became what they are today. We have been, okay, let me take that again. We have been in the vicinity of humans and other entities here on Earth from the time of the settlement of other advanced civilizations on Earth before humans became orchid, which gave or from which other variations like dendrobium became what they are today, have been the beauty in the eyes of other civilizations before humans on this planet. Okay? All right, take a breath. So what that means is that there had been other civilizations on this planet before humans evolved or before we became hybrids of what we were before, okay? There had been other civilizations here. All right. So, orchid has been a house plant since humans evolved, you mean? I asked. Then it was not called, house plant. It was and still is a plant that is loved by all. Humans as well as those before them. Orchid has been present in the vicinity of beings in many civilizations on Earth before this one. Now, I don't know how old our civilization is, but other civilizations before this. So, and then you can see what we found in the internet yesterday and today. You say 200 million years ago, of course. I wonder how many civilizations we have had during those times before this one. I'm sure this civilization is not even up to a million. No, I don't think this civilization, no. No, I don't know how old this civilization is, but I think it's not that old, to a million years. I don't think so. I will find out, though. Okay. I see, I exclaim. So it is a common house plant then. Wait, hold on. Where was I? Okay. And then the plant said exotic, I'd say. It is cherished by all civilizations who saw it. I hope you get that. Now, after it said orchid has been present in the vicinity of beings in many civilizations on Earth before this one, I then said, oh, I see. So it is a common house plant then. And then it said exotic, I would say. So it prefer to say the plant is exotic, not common house plant. Exotic, it said. It is cherished by many civilizations who saw it. Okay? I see, I exclaimed again. I'm glad I have it now. So, it's been here for a long time. It's not like it was recently propagated. And the plant said, some types recently would be some years ago. It was crossbred and are still being experimented on because of its flexibility, but it is an old beauty of a species, okay? So that means the experimentation is still going on. So that means the propagation of orchid is still going on, just like we read in the beginning, in the brief history, you know. It's still going on. So they are still having more and more variation of varieties of orchid, right? Okay, this is what really excited me when I was reading that article from that website, because it really corresponds with what the plant had said. All right. And then I exclaimed again, I see it. Of course. Now, let's talk about you, the consciousness. And then I ask, where are you from? And then the plant said, I am from a nearby planet that is still being investigated by Earth scientists or astrologists. They are still deciding what to make of us, where we are, or if we are or are not a planet. From the outside, it doesn't look like a planet, neither a star. Have you noticed how dark it is from here looking up? Yes, I said. I have wondered how the astrologers know a planet from a star. I said, don't they all look alike from afar? And the plant said, that is it. That is precisely it. It is difficult to tell what is planet or star or sun or asteroid from outside. I think outside with the plant would be from outside, from space, outer space, huh? Like outside Earth, you know? I don't know, whatever outside is for it, it's outside. Maybe outside for me too. And then he said, there are many planets that are yet to be discovered by your astrologist with the level of technology you have now. Of course, we have heard this before from other plants. Some planets look like star sun and cannot be differentiated from the outside. Besides, planets are not littered with light always. Okay? Earth is also dark from deep space. You don't see it until when projected on with what advanced tech they have. Then will it be visible? I mean, with all this water, it is almost easy to see her. My planet doesn't have water. Water like Earth. It has liquid substance, but not water. In my planet, we are not water beings like Earthlings. We are pure energy beings. Okay. Tell me about energy beings, I asked. I said, I wanted to know. Our kind of energy being live in energy form. Now, when he said our kind, it means that there are different types of energy beings. Remember, some time ago we talked about an energy being in What plant was that? What plant was that? Ouch, I'm forgetting the plant. I think it was the short, ficus tree, I think, that said it experienced life as an energy being before it went back to the source of all things and before reincarnation or so. Yeah. So when he said our kind, I noted that there are different kinds of energy beings. And then it went on. He said, we do not eat nor drink like we do here on Earth. We survive in the form that we are with just energy. What does that mean? I asked. It means we are not a visible form like I am here. Okay? We are a form that you don't have a name for. At least not yet, because you are yet to discover us. Whoa, it sounds like our future, right? We are yet to discover them. Okay, that means we'll get there someday. All right, and then I said, we have discovered some planets, but we still don't know of the life forms in any of them. Yes, of course we don't. I mean, how many planets have we discovered? We still don't know the life forms in those planets. We are still struggling to know what life form is in Mars. Okay, we haven't. Or maybe they have, but they are not telling us, like as usual. They don't tell us things, okay? Of course, they have their reasons. Probably because majority of us cannot stomach what they will tell us, or because they are not really sure of what they have found out, they cannot give us half big story, you know. So of course they have their reasons, but you know, they don't tell us anyway. Then I said, so how are we going to discover your form? I asked. And then he said, that's difficult to say, because it is not just in technology, as you usually think, it is also in awareness. I'm going to be fast now because my time is running. And then it continued. To be aware of the existence of a thing motivates you to want to explore it. But when awareness is not there, you will never be interested to find out or to know. When humans travel to space, they travel to go see if there is anything out there that looks like Earth, so that they can live there. Of course, that's what he's saying, that when we go looking for other planets, we go looking for the one that look like ours, right? So that we can have our part two of Earth, or maybe colonize it. You know, we are looking for, in case something happened on Earth, we can always relocate. Mm-hmm. And then he said, it continued and said, we would suggest that humans also travel to find out about other life forms that just might be different from theirs. I know the attraction to what is like you, but to experience something different, a new perspective in an unfamiliar zone could be a challenge, or could be challenging, but also rewarding. Yeah, Glim. Now, let's go back to the energy being. How do you look like? I asked. The best earthly description would be your aura. Huh? Just that? I asked. It's not just that, it said. How many humans can see aura with their naked eyes? Not so many in our population, I said. See that? It said. That is what I'm saying. If humans could be aware of the fact that you can perceive other auras without trying, that you can see it without trying, just knowing and allowing your body to tell you what it is perceiving, and then trusting that. That is the first step to knowing the reality of other beings, not just around you, but when you visit other planets like ours. You'd feel our presence without being afraid. The human fear-based nature limits a lot of things, but anyway, that in itself is evolving. I hope you get that, right? So if we can just know in our innate being that we can perceive the presence of other beings around us, either by seeing the aura or by just perceiving, allowing our body to tell us what we are perceiving, because we doubt a lot. We doubt a lot. And if we just allow our body to just believe and trust what your body is telling you, that there's a presence around you, you know. I mean, for humans, it's so difficult. Not so many people are that sensitive. That doesn't mean that it's not happening to you. It is. You're a human being. It is happening to you. You're just not sensitive, but it is happening. And then when he talked about fear, when he talked about, he said, the human fear-based nature limits a lot of things. But anyway, that in itself is evolving. The fear-based nature is evolving. I get that. But explain it more, I said. I asked it. The fight or flight nature of man is evolving, it said. You needed it when you were primitive, of course, then. When we were seven-centered beings. I just learned that we have evolved to nine-centered beings. Okay, that is a new information for you. You can look at that on what we call human design. You will see. Just Google human design and research that, and you will see that we have evolved to nine-centered beings. And then he said, you needed it when you were primitive. In time, you will not need it anymore, but that would come with awareness. In which society would this be, I asked. Our society is full of fearful things, I said. That is because the vast majority is not aware. Humans have developed this fear-based nature to such height that you cannot do without it now in your evolution, because this is what you know. You developed it, and you use it now as a tool, at least some of you, of course. Of course, some of us have gone past that, and we now understand how to use fear as a tool. Yes, some of us have, speaking about the unseen powerful people who are using it now as a tool to control the rest. You know what I'm talking about. And others just don't know how else to deal with it. Okay, now let me take that again. You developed it. We have developed it, you developed it, and you use it now as a tool, at least some of you. And others just don't know how else to deal with it. But in time, you will get tired of it and evolve from it. But again, with awareness. Most of your fears is nothing. Fear of nothing. Just fear because your mind said so. Okay, now this reminds me of a fly. I've been watching flies. It's summer. This summertime, I'm watching flies. And I've been doing some drama with them. Now, this is fly. Now, this is a fly. A fly knows that it could fly out of the room through the window. It knows that because I see them flying to the window. I've seen this many times. But the window is closed. When the window is closed, it tries again and again. When the window is tilted, because it is, now when the window is tilted, it is open from at the top, it's open inside. Some part of the side is open, it's tilted open, okay? This is a typical German window. I don't know, yeah, I'm sure Americans have this kind of window. You tilt it open from the top, okay? Now, because it is a two-dimensional species, it cannot think that the top of the window is open. So it keeps bumping into the closed part of the window until it finally dies of shortage of air. I think air, right? Same thing happens with all the flies in that room. They will all eventually die. If they are aware, like a three-dimensional being, that the window might just be open on the side or at the top, they will fly up there or to the side and then fly out of the room. But because it is not aware of that, it gets scared, trying hard again and again and again to get out until it dies. This is what is happening to us now in our third dimension. Because we are not aware that there are other ways of doing things, we keep making the same mistake again and again, filling ourselves up with fear until we give up trying. Okay? With awareness comes knowledge comes growth, comes self-love and compassion, comes empowerment, comes faith. It's not as if the human natural fear of fight or flee will not be there, but at least you will know how to deal with that. You know how to act, you know how to navigate it and not be fearful about everything. But that then it will become a tool for you to use it when appropriate, when it should be used, okay? To use it to navigate yourself, but not out of control. And then I said, and the mind, which we have also developed, makes the body react. And then the plant said, even when the body is reluctant to react, and then it laughed, you just spring up in fear without thinking and act out what the mind says. Oh, the movies your minds play, it said. How do you know that we could go past this and evolve, I asked. Because you have done it before, it said. And again, there have been civilizations before you, and you have coexisted with them, many of them fearlessly. We have existed with many of them fearlessly. You could get there again when you figure out how to bypass your fear-based nature, or when it evolves by itself. Bypass, evolve, I repeated. And then the plant said, bypass, when you remember who you truly are, that will be awareness, you will bypass it because it is in the body. Okay, I think this is about remembering who you are, remembering the spirit that you are, remembering the intelligent being that you are, remembering your soul self, remembering your God self, remembering that you are a being that came here to experience mortality, that you are a being from either from other realities, from other spaces, other planets, other universes, other times, or direct from the source of all things. You are not a body. Originally, you are not a body. You have a body. You're wearing it. The body is a vessel. It is your vehicle that navigates you, help you to navigate on this planet, in this three-dimensional part of Earth. Okay? Now, if we remember that, it said, we can vibrate above that fear. Now, fear in all, in general, we can vibrate above that, it said. And then that's what he said, bypass it. And then he said, or evolve. And then evolve when it evolves by itself, because it is in the process. That's what the plant said. It is in the process. So you have two options. So either we become aware and vibrate above it, that's bypassing it, or we just allow it to evolve by itself. And of course, we all know now that we are shifting. There's a shift that is going on. Human beings are shifting from being a completely left brain beings to being right brain beings. You see what is happening, which is happening around us. Once upon a time, we were pure left brain thinkers. Like, everything must be structured, everything must be systematic. But now we are thinking differently now. We are now giving space to be receptive, to look at things differently. And then we are shifting, and then in time we're going to be evolved to being right brain, if you know what I mean. And that's what it meant. Then, as we shift and evolve, this fear-based thing about human will also evolve, because it is evolving, it is a process. Okay, that part of your chakra, that those roots, those base chakras are still evolving. Okay, they are still in the processing of evolution. All right, and then I said, I exclaimed, remembering who we are is a challenge in our reality. I said, yes, it is, it replied. And when some of us eventually remember, we seem to neglect the body, I said. And then, it said, the body begins to protest by being sick, or you will begin to fight it. Yes, actually, this brought me into you know, looking at some people in this spiritual community that, hey, this is complicated, a little complicated. Let me see if I can use the time and just talk about this. You know, in the spiritual community, we think, oh, because you are spiritual, you must not be sick. Yes, of course, but you get sick because you are in a body. There's a body needs maintenance. You know, in my experience, I've met people who are always into out-of-the-body experience. You go traveling to other realities. You go traveling to other... You sit in meditation for hours. And then you return to your body and not take care of it. I'm not talking about the gurus. Those ones, they are smart. They can't take care of their bodies. They're not hardly sick. But I'm talking about energy healers or other, you know, healers that are sick. You know? You are in a body. No matter how far and how long you travel out of your body, you have to come back and maintain this vehicle. You know, like having a car, your car needs maintenance. If you don't maintain it, it's going to crash on you. This is exactly how the body is. It's mortal. Now, I'm not talking about making the body mortal. I'm not even going there. Let's talk about it being mortal. Let's honor it, respect it. Develop a relationship with it and allow yourself to understand how it speaks to you. It's not about your mind telling you what to do. No, it's your body telling you that something needs an attention, something needs to be listened to. It's your body saying, I am the vessel of this planet. I am here to help you navigate your life here. You don't have to fight me. You don't have to, you know, I will crash. Now, let me give you a typical example. Diet. I'm going to speak from experience from here. Diet. You know, they say because you're spiritual, you have to be a vegetarian. Oh, my goodness. And then you become a vegetarian, and then your body is fighting. You're fighting with your body. And then you'll be wondering, oh, this chakra is blocked, that chakra is blocked. No, your body is telling you you're not doing the right thing. I was a vegetarian for a couple of years, let's say 3 years. I think about 3 or 4 years, I was a vegetarian. I tried it, I walked it. Yeah, I did. Because it says spirituality, be a vegetarian. I became a vegetarian. I was just following, you know. And I was dizzy most of the time. Dizzy. And then my body is like I don't like this vegetarian thing. Please, stop giving me cold food. I don't like it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to follow this one. I started eating meat after some years. And then I started feeling grounded. I'm a Taurus, by the way. The bull. We are ground. We are earthlings. So they're eating meat. And then the body said, oh, thank you for eating meat. But you see, you're eating too much. And I'm like, what? Before I know it, I was in the doctor's office, and the doctor said, and I was diagnosed of pancreas insufficiency. And then I went back to my solar plexus and had a conversation with my solar plexus. I said, solar plexus, what is going on here? What am I supposed to do? You said no vegetarian. Now I've changed, and now you're acting out. And my solar plexus said, yes. It is not what you eat. It is how you eat. And my solar plexus said, the way you eat is the same way you digest life. Oh, my goodness. When I got that, I was like, okay, so that means I'm manifesting my reality. The way I was manifesting my reality was too much for my auric, my energetic body to digest. Oh, I got it. Okay, so what do I do now? And my solar plexus said, take the medication that was prescribed for you for just 2 weeks after that stop. With that time, I will adjust. I said, fine. And then, in collaboration with my body, I took that medication for 2 weeks, and then I stopped. And there's no pain anymore. I'm telling you, no pain. I'm doing fine. And then, body said, you see all that manifestation? Stop it. You have done it. It's fine. Don't manifest anymore. Life will bring you the things you want. You don't have to fight it. Things will happen to you at the right time. You know what? I stopped. And that's exactly what is happening. Life is just happening to me. And honestly, the eating thing is not what they said. You see all those nutrition things, please. You have to ask your body what it wants. Now let's continue with the plant. Plant said balance. We see it's also a challenge with humans. It's funny. You are always in one extreme or the other. Yeah, I said. It's a planet of duality. Finding balance is a challenge. Balance, it said, therefore, is necessary. Yes, it is, I said. And then we ended the session. When I asked it if we should continue with the conversation at that time, it said yes. Dear friends, we have learned about the history of orchid. How we can move past our fears and the fact that it is in itself, this fear thing is evolving. And we also have learned that balance is a necessity, is a necessary thing we have to do in our reality. As much as you're traveling outside your body all the time, when you come back, you have to balance that. Take care of your body, feed your body well, rest well. Give your body what it needs, not what they told you it needs, not what your mind tells you it needs. Study your body, listen to it. What is it telling you? Are you forcing it to do what it cannot do? There are energetic beings. There are sacral beings. There are non-energetic beings. There are non-sacral beings on this planet. I'm talking human design. Once again, Google that. Okay? When I saw that, I was like, this is a magnificent work that is a gift. Like, one time I said the body has a manual. In fact, it does have a manual, and we are all not the same. No. We are all not the same. We are different, and our body functions differently. So there's this harmonization. Yes, I got that word. Now, the plants have always said monoculture, right? That's for the plant. And we have always talked about monoculture in this show. For humans, it is called harmonization. Just like the plant, it doesn't work for us too. One size does not fit all. We are different. Our bodies function differently. The way we use oxygen, the way we use energy is not the same. Befriend your body. Be intimate with the water in you. Be intimate. Until then, you will not understand the planet because your body is the combination of all of the elements. All of it. And remember, as intelligent as a being that you are in a vessel. And the vessel is mortal. And the vessel has its own intelligence. Thank you for tuning in for today's show. For next show, we will talk about the conversation I had with, I haven't decided what plant yet, okay? So apart from News for the Soul website, you can also find me on my website at www.gloriaterry.com. If you have questions, kindly send me an email via my website or send me a message via my Instagram, which Instagram you will find in my website, okay? Remember, energy follows thought, and your love has an impact. Your love has an impact. This is Gloria Terry, and I wish you love, happiness, and good health. Do have a pleasant time. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. And good night from Germany. Love, light.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.